Welcome to The Spin, a podcast about digital strategy, online marketing, and brand identity. Now, here are your hosts, Zach Sims and Justin Holland.
All right, so Zach, you know, I was cleaning the house and you've been bugging me to hop on this video call. I've asked you what it's about and you won't even tell me, but you just said that you needed to be on a call and yes. You wanted to just riff for a little bit. So hit me with it. What are you thinking?
You know, one of the things that we do so well, dude, is, you know, people don't get to see this because we'll call each other for like a 5-minute call and like an hour and a half later, we're like, what are we doing? Why didn't we record that? So this is why I did it, right? Because I wanted to capture you,
you know, fair enough.
And put you in the corner. So
yeah, you wanted to put me on the spot. All right.
Yeah, man. So I know where this is going. You don't.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things we try to do around here, as you know, but talking to the masses out there is, you know, we try to stay kind of abreast of all the new stuff in the digital marketing sort of arena, right? And it's constantly changing. You know, we saw in 2018 big algorithm shifts in all the major platforms. And so let's talk about what I want to get into is like, what are the big things that I see for this coming year? And what are we focused on right now as an agency for our clients? And so the first one, and I think it's kind of the most important kind of overarching concept is that we are focusing on getting our clients into omni-channel distribution. So there's a lot of talk in the last 18 months of like Facebook ads, only place to be, right? But the reality is that you need to diversify across several platforms. So you need to be, you know, on Facebook for your ads, but the content you make for those, you can put on YouTube. Some pieces of the content you make for those, you make for LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram. All of those things need to have content on them. One of the things, you know, and I'm sure we're going to do it with this, right? We're going to record this. We're going to go into post-production and we're going to chop this conversation up into like 20 or 30 different pieces of content and spread it all across the internet in different places. And when you do that, what we do for our clients is think of every single channel out there, every single platform as a different type of a room. Okay. The way you talk to your friends and your coworkers at an after hours bar, like, you know, chilling out from a long week is different than the way you talk to them in the conference room on Tuesday morning. And so so LinkedIn is a good example of the conference room, and maybe Instagram is sort of the late night bar kind of scene, right? So the content will come from a thing like what we're doing now for our customers, and then we'll just chop it. Hear this bird? He's driving me nuts.
Yeah. Well, I'm laughing at the bird, but I'm also laughing at the fact that you just compared Instagram to like 2 a.m. at the bar.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of
lights are on, folks. You know, lights are on, folks.
Come on. Instagram is like the you up, right? So come on. So anyway, but seriously, you're just having a different kind of a conversation. And you can take something like what we're doing right now and you can chop it into pieces that are digestible in each individual room, right? So that's a huge focus for us right now. And I'm sure that you've been kind of following that kind of stuff, but all the thought leaders that are out there, and hey, man, it's us too, right? We're all talking about what are the big things for 19. I really see omnichannel is a big one and a way that you need to be just not putting all your chips on one horse, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it too is people get complacent, right? They, I mean, they get, you stick with things that worked. And by the way, this is not scripted. Like I literally don't know where Zach was going with this. So, but I think it's funny because people think that, you know, what happened in 2016 or 2017, like, oh, I have a website and it's mobile optimized. And so obviously now I'm just going to magically get clients. And that's great. And you need that. Don't get me wrong. You need that. The problem is that everyone has that, right? I mean, literally there are people from, you know, Coca-Cola all the way down to the smallest, you know, house cleaning company, painting company, whatever. They all have a mobile optimized website because it's frankly fairly inexpensive to do compared to what it used to be. It used to be 40 or 50 grand for a website. And now you can do it for $1,000, $2,000 and have a really nice site.
Right.
But like today, you know, like this, for example, video, it's not comfortable. I don't like hearing my own voice. I'm going to delete this from my computer as soon as we go into post-production because I hate it. But
That's great.
The bottom line is, it is, it's the truth. But the bottom line is that people want to see you. They want to see who they're dealing with today. And it's funny because there's been a shift, right? Like there's for all of the talk about how technology has, you know, taken us away from that human contact, purchasing decisions are still super emotional and they still want to have a connection to you. And I think that's what people forget is that it's not all about, you know, just let's throw a Facebook ad up and hope for the best. Hope isn't a strategy. So, being present in your client, your customer, your prospect, being present in their life and just, you know, giving value without necessarily asking for something in return is going to pay off in spades.
And there are some of the big players in our industry that talk about it. Gary Vee is one of them, right? And it's that content, and then you're asked. And you have to be willing to put things out there of value to your potential customers without giving them a CTA. No call to action. Just show, providing value to them. And that's, look, there is no service out there, very few services out there, let's just be real, right, that most people, if they given the time and proper Googling, couldn't figure out how to do it. Name a service, I can figure out how to do it. The way businesses make money is not by pretending and hiding what they do. It's by saying, I'm really good at what I do. You can learn it, but I can do it better right now. So unless you want to go to school for 2 years to learn to be a chef or, you know, whatever, like that's, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. So don't be afraid to give things out there and give them away, because you're going to get some kind of return. And after a couple of videos of giving out content, go ahead and make that ask. Like, hey, I know you've been following you guys. You know, I'd really like to get you involved in what we do, and boom, right? I'll put a call to action out there.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll see you.
I'm waiting on
time.
You. Okay, so I think what a lot of people realize that, or what a lot of people think, I should say, is that if they're putting this out there, that somehow like these trade secrets of theirs are going to be gone, right? That they're inherently losing customers and money. It's not true because, you know, maybe one out of every 100 person, you know, or people is going to actually go out there and try to do it on their own. And they're so stubborn that, that they're caught up in doing it on their own. But guess what? You don't want that customer anyway. But and that's the honest to God truth. You don't want every customer. You don't.
No.
But at the end of the day, you're going to have so many people that are lining up because you have made yourself an authority. So you've done two things, right? One is you've made yourself an authority.
Yeah.
And two, you've already given them value. So they already have a connection to you. And then what are they going to do?
Man, you're so good, dude. Like, I'll let you go, but you're tying right back into the next thing I want to talk about too.
Okay, good. Here's the thing. Yeah, and this isn't, keep in mind, I want to say it again, like this is not scripted, right? No script.
If it was scripted, that bird would not be here.
Yeah, that bird sucks. So I would make another comment, but we'd have PETA underneath talking about it. But bottom line is, if you give the value, right? So it's just like, let's take our industry, digital marketing. If I know that, you know, Joe Blow plumber down the street can write his own ads, but I can guarantee you that he can't do it as well as me. And that's the whole point. It's not about, you know, somebody being able to do something on their own. I can lay hardwood floors in my house, but guess what? They're going to look like shit compared to the flooring company down the road.
That's why
I hire them. Because they're better at it than me.
And they're professionals. That's why professionals exist. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yep. And I think that people just forget that every industry, no matter how simple it seems, it has complexities and it has these nuances that exist that, you know, a YouTube video can't tell you. So you can go ahead and try all you want, but you're never going to get it the same as the guy or girl who's done it 1,000 times before you.
That's right.
Yep.
So
I know you want to talk about value. Go.
I really want to talk about, it's not value as much as I want to talk about brand. Okay.
Okay.
So I really want you to think about, like, you know, what are, okay, so we've already talked about putting value out there, becoming an authority, and then the question that you should be thinking about is, well, what's the point? And the point is that you're building a brand, right? And, you know, we see time and time again. For instance, this is great. So Google last year in May did a huge adjustment. And what they did to their algorithm, as best as people can tell, is basically that if you had content that was really like a broad amount of content, but not really deep, right? It's like not a lot of meat about it. They actually penalized you. And what happened was, really, really big brands that everyone knows and trusts actually got penalized and knocked, saw their positions lose on page one. And in the August update, which was called the medical update, because it really had a lot of effects in the medical industry. But one of the other effects was that all of a sudden, all those big name brands that had seen a downturn over the summer suddenly bounced back up. And the reason that that happened was that Google, and again, this is all conjecture, but I mean, you just do the numbers and the math, right? Two changes the algorithm and two effects, right? It appears that Google realized that people want two things. They want the best, but they still want to be comfortable with the brands they know. And when they don't see the brands they know, they start getting a little bit like not happy with their user experience and asking Google, like, how come so-and-so wasn't on this page? That seems really weird. So that's a lot of spiel to kind of get across the point of what you're doing through authority is building your brand. Now, when you're doing local SEO, local advertisements, that's really, really powerful, right? Because of course the big, big name brands are going to be the top guys. You can't displace that. But when you're the big dog in your market, right, that's a whole different ballgame. And so to do that, you want to, who are you, right? Like we talked before about the roofing company that, you know, their whole thing was, you know, we're not a roofing company with good customer service. We're a customer service company that happens to do exceptional roofing, right? That's a brand, okay?
Yep.
You want to put that out there in your content so that people start to feel what you're about and want to be a part of it. And that's the other thing.
Yep.
People like to be a part of something, and that plays into purchasing decisions. You said emotion, and that's part of the emotional journey, right, for a buyer, which is, I need to get this done, but I really like feeling like I'm part of a thing, so I'm going to go do this, right? And so your job and our job as marketers is to get our customers and our clients to get their brand out there and not so much their product, et cetera. I mean, really like build up who they are, right?
Yep. Well, think about...
If you know anything about that, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, think about like McDonald's, for example, right? So actually, let me back up a second because I want to say something real quick to kind of preface this. So it's been proven, this is science, that psychologically, the more that you are exposed to some sort of brand or some sort of, whether it's a brand, a person, an identity, it doesn't matter. The more that you are exposed to that particular impulse, the more highly favorable you feel about that.
Yeah.
So that's why you see, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, marketing yourself in different channels. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, okay, I'll put myself in this magazine and that's it. Well, the problem is that your target now has gone like this, right?
Yeah.
And so think about, I'm going to use McDonald's for an example. Everyone knows McDonald's is terrible for you. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Yeah.
Now, I hope they don't see this because I don't want to get sued by McDonald's. I don't have the money to go up against Mickey D's.
You're right, exactly.
Like Ronald would whoop me in court.
Yep.
But that's not the point. The point is that they are a marketing genius.
Oh yeah.
Because they tie into your emotions. You know, food is connected to emotion. That's kind of a, you know, that's a foregone conclusion, right? But what they do is they do that, right? They pull on your, you know, your emotions. They pull on your heartstrings a little bit with some of their commercials. And what it ends up doing is, again, like it's just putting themselves into your life. They're inserting themselves into your life. So that way, when you're driving down the road and you think to yourself, man, you know, it's not even consciously, it's usually subconsciously, but you think about that family that you saw that was super happy going through the drive through and all the kids are ripping their toys open. And kudos to you, McDonald's, because we all know that your food makes us fat, and yet we still eat it.
Yep. Yeah. I love it. I'll
eat
it all day.
But that is the truth, man. Like, people don't think about how you know, marketing. And I want to, let me also mention, marketing isn't a bad word. Like a lot of people think that advertising and marketing is like, I have this product and I'm going to shove it down your throat. That's actually not what marketing is. So Theodore Levitt, you and I learned about this at Syracuse. So, but Theodore Levitt was, he wrote a book called Marketing Myopia. And what he talks about is how marketing should be the voice inside the firm, the voice of the customer, I should say, inside the firm. And what does that mean? It's the companies that say, I'm not going to adapt, that I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. Again, going back to that earlier statement of, you know, it's 2016, 2017, and I have a mobile optimized website. Well, that's great. But your customer's bored. They're bored of you. They're bored of your ads. They're bored of your product. And what happens is you hear my washer going off. That's great.
Yeah.
But what happens
is real deal right here.
Yeah. So it's just, it becomes a, it's again, I don't know another word to really describe it. It's just boring. And when they're bored of you, they're done with you, period.
Yeah.
You have to stay relevant.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really powerful point, right? Which is trying to constantly sort of push.
That's like, what I do. I just drop truth bombs. I just drop them all over. Just
boom, carpet bombing us right now.
All day.
I'll tell you what. That it's like I'm telling you, you're in my head, man. So that kind of ties into what I was thinking about is another thing, which is okay. So content, but content with context. Okay, and
yeah.
So that concept kind of ties together everything I was thinking about. And it's really kind of the reason I wanted to get on the call with you, which is, you know, we talk about putting out content. We develop content for ourselves, for clients. But one of the things that you really need to be cognizant of, and I think is going to be hyper-focused, particularly given what Google did last year, right, is that your content has to have some kind of a context behind it. And so that goes back to know who you're talking to, but know where you're talking to them. Are you advertising through Snapchat? Are you in LinkedIn? Are you know what I mean? Like what room, what channel are you on? And then appropriately put your content into those channels in the right way, right? To convey whatever the message is that you want to convey as a firm, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's also a really powerful thing too, because you, I was going to actually tell you to elaborate on what is content with context. So talk about what you mean. Like, what is content with context and what is content without context?
Yeah, so so context to me is sort of the environment, you know, that I'm in, right? Like, who am I talking to? What's the expectations for the thing? So we actually talked about this last night, right? So a great example is marketers and personalities who swear a lot, okay? There are a couple of big ones out there. I'm a former sailor, you're a former airman in the Air Force. I mean, we can go. Yeah. But we have chosen to be a little bit more toned down. But there are personalities like Gary Vee, for instance, who don't care. And their authentic self drops F-bombs every couple minutes. And that's fine. I mean, I'm a fan, right?
More power to them.
But what you need to do is understand that doesn't always play, right? So taking that kind of an idea or that kind of content and putting it into certain channels, like, I don't know, like LinkedIn, okay, is not gonna resonate with that group. It doesn't have the proper context in that group that it might have in Facebook or Instagram, okay? Or hell, maybe even on YouTube. And what we talked about last night was thinking about, you know, so in LinkedIn, for instance, the person on LinkedIn, I like to think of them as the business professional guy in a suit, okay? When that guy goes to see me talk at a conference and I drop a couple of F-bombs, he laughs. And that's fine because contextually, he's comfortable in that environment to accept that kind of rhetoric.
Right.
Okay.
Unless you say the F-bombs at him, he may not laugh. But
right, exactly. Right. But if I make a joke and it's in there, chances are he laughs, right?
Sure.
But that same exact guy watching that same exact speech and not having been there, but seeing it on LinkedIn, right, might not want to like it or share it because he doesn't want to be tied to that kind of talk, right, in a professional setting.
Yep.
So contextually, what you need to do is not develop content just for that market or just for that platform, but, you know, in post-production, just bleep it out. right? So you, you notice that with guys like Gary Vee. Like,
well,
you go to him on YouTube, he's cursing. Same video on LinkedIn, and it's bleeped out.
Let me give you an example that right now everyone can relate to, okay? Mm-hmm. So our current president, and I'm not going to get political. We're not going to talk about who we're for, who we're against. No. But our current president is super polarizing. He is incredibly polarizing. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And he enjoys that, right?
Yeah.
The thing is there are people who believe in the things that he is saying, who are a supporter of his, and they don't want to share that content on their social media for the exact reason that you just said, because they're afraid of the reaction of their friends, their family, their customers potentially that are also linked up with them. They feel like that could be detrimental to, you know, their overall character persona, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's the exact same thing. If you're not delivering the content with your audience in mind, and I think your wife, Jasmine, actually said this yesterday, it's all about knowing your audience, right? Know your room. When I was in the Air Force and I was briefing, you know, a brigadier general, I'm going to talk much differently than if I'm sitting in the break room with, you know, E3s and E4s that were, you know, my peers.
Sure.
That's the whole key. And the tricky part about online marketing is putting the right content in front of the right eyeballs. And I think that's what you and I are really good at. And that's why, like we talked about it, it's not always easy to do. So again, going back to what we said, just because we're telling somebody to do it doesn't mean that they're going to go out and be able to just practice it overnight.
Correct.
I give you a ton of kudos if you're going to go out and try it, because at least, you know, we talked about this before, imperfect action is better than no action.
Yeah.
But odds are you're not going to understand the nuances and the complexities of how, you know, how to target certain ads and how to target certain content. And you probably won't get it in front of the right people. So whether it's us or somebody else, I just, you know, work with a professional that they're going to be able to help you out in that manner.
I would just add on that imperfect action is better than no action unless it's tied to imperfect ad spend. And then
that's true. Yep.
And then you're going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the final.
Yeah, we see a lot of that.
Yeah. Because we see a lot of that.
We do.
And we see people who have a lot of success, but when you dig down into their numbers, like their cost of acquisition, for instance, is through the roof. Well, like, yeah, okay, you can throw thousands of dollars into the masses and wait for the 5 people out of 1,000 to pick them up, you know, Or you could just market to like 10 and get 5.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it depends on how you want to do it.
And make no mistake about it.
You know?
Exactly. And make no mistake about it, though, like, we don't have a silver bullet, right? Like, there's plenty of campaigns that you and I have run and we're like, oh, well, that sucks. Because it's not always, you don't always get it right. And that's okay. It's okay to not be perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm close, but I'm not. But you see, I knew he was going to laugh.
I'm farther from that.
But the thing is, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to know how to tweak and how to learn and how to continue to, you know, just to adapt. You have to be able to adapt. If you don't, you're dead.
So you're great, man. So like, this can kind of like be the finishing point for this, because I mean, it goes back to not putting all of your chips on one thing, right? And that goes back to what I talked about, which is get your message about your brand omni-channel, multiple channels.
Yes.
Okay. And don't just run one ad set. You should run several at smaller buys and watch your metrics and see where they're at and turn off the ones that don't work. This is the stuff that we do. We do it really, really, really effectively. Okay. But you've got to be doing it in a lot of different ways, because if you're spending all your money on one ad and you're shaking your head because that one failed, you're not going to survive. It's just not how business works these days, you know?
So think about it in terms of a product offering, right? If you have, so it's funny because businesses are so focused on expanding and diversifying their product portfolio, but they don't expand and diversify their marketing portfolio. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And you can't, you can't market two products the same way. You can't market two customers the same way. You can't, you know, you can't try to shove, as you said, all your eggs in one basket, or, you know, square peg round hole theory. You just can't do it. You will fail.
And by the way, like, make no bones about it. Like, digital's the future, right? And when I say that, I'm lying, because it's the now, right? Digital's right now. Okay.
Yeah. So it's both. It's now and the future.
But you got to be everywhere. Okay. I would never advise clients to stop doing marketing things that are non-digital that are working for them. Okay. If you're a small company, for instance, and you're doing like Valpak, but it's working and a good ROI, why would I tell you to stop? Okay.
Yeah.
But there are some things that don't really work. I'll tell you one that doesn't work right now. It's TV, because TV advertising is dying. And everybody wants to, this is a polarizing one. And I'll tell you why I think it is. Think of whatever your favorite TV show is. How often have you watched it while it was actually being aired?
We're about to get a visitor here. Come here.
Oh, good.
Come here. Yeah.
Nice.
My dog is freaking out.
Mine are circling.
Come here.
Zeus and Dora are all over the place.
Come here.
But
come here. There he is.
Who's that? Oh, there he is. What up?
So anyway, keep going.
But think about the last time you watched your favorite show. Did you watch it recorded, or did you watch it when it was actually being aired?
Agreed. Right? Yep.
And the vast majority of people these days, we see it by metrics that more people watch things on demand or recorded. Okay. So what happens when the commercials come on? Two things happen. One, you fast forward through the commercials, right? So that's ad spend that got thrown out the window.
Yep.
Whoops. And the other thing that happens is
where are you going? Where are you off to?
I just got so excited that I punched my camera. This is live and real, people. But the other thing that happens is, let's say that you don't fast forward to the commercials, okay? You probably let the commercials play, but you immediately pick up your phone and start booking the fish.
Looking at digital advertisement.
Right, exactly. Okay? So if you're spending a ton of money on local TV, you're probably missing the mark. Okay. Your money is better spent in a digital space, because this is where people are at.
Yeah. Okay. There's actually, there's a lot of studies that have said that, and there's a couple different numbers, right? I've heard 92, I've heard 87, I've heard 85, but the bottom line is 80%+. And it's probably even higher than that, are making their main purchasing decision online.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And here's an even more scary thing for like big box stores, for instance. Let's talk about retailers, okay? So people go on like Amazon, look at like their fate, like, oh, I really need to buy this TV, okay? And then they get in the car and they go to like whatever, Best Buy or something, and they look at that TV in person and touch it. They're like, yeah, this is fantastic. And then they leave the store and get back on Amazon to buy it.
Yep.
Right? So
that's
a whole other conversation that we can have maybe earlier in the week or coming up in the week.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to talk about retail and how it's being affected. But I mean, that's really what's happening. So if you're a business owner in that space, or in a space where physical products are being sold, you've got to be aware of that. And there are ways to combat that we can talk about in another one of these, impromptu chats. But the future is right now. Okay. It's happening right now, and it's time to get on board for the big win. And there are a lot of people that can help you, but we're going to definitely help you because we're fantastic at it. I'll blow my own horn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us this week on The Spin. Make sure to visit our website, spin90digital.com, where you can subscribe to the show so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, please tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. If you'd like Zach and Justin to help with your digital marketing strategy, shoot them an email at info@spin90digital.com.